triple nothing. We have to update the Bloomberg focus, so I'll come up with this one today. By Matthew chapter 11. And it came about that when John had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in the cities. Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or should we look for someone else?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." And as these were going away, Jesus began to speak to the multitudes about John. "What did you go out to the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But why did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, the one who is more than a prophet. This is one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you care to accept it, he himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to the other children and say, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." And he began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which have occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades. For if the miracles that occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, they would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy-laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light." Amen. Well, just go through this a little bit. For the first episode here, we see John the Baptist come and kind of want to hear what's going on. And obviously, John's in prison at this time. And so he comes and kind of asks, well, you know, are you the expected one? Is this, you know, are you the Christ? Are you the one that we've been waiting for this whole time? And no, Jesus doesn't necessarily answer back and affirmatively outright, but he actually does. And he said, "Hey, just go tell John." And he's basically referring to Isaiah 61, you know, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord upon me to preach good news." You know, and it's something to, you know, it's like captives free, comfortable your Lord, you know, a very famous passage. You know, and thus it's the sign that John knows that, oh, this, he is the one. You know, and thus by the things that Jesus is doing, right, he is actually fulfilling the Old Testament and things that are said about the Messiah, basically. And then Jesus turns and he gives a tribute to John through this. And he tells these guys, look, you know, why did you go out into the wilderness? You know, did you go see a man in soft clothing? And, you know, soft clothing, because, you know, John used to wear sackcloth. You know, he wore very harsh clothing. He also ate grasshoppers, right? Very kind of. John is actually a very unique character in the Bible. I don't think you'll find anyone like John. And then Jesus has this incredible statement. He says, you know, if you bear to hear it, he actually is Elijah. You know, he is, you know, and actually, if you turn to Luke chapter 1, in verse 17, I want to do that. You know, remember in Malachi, right? The end of Malachi, he says that, you know, God will send forth the spirit of Elijah And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, and strike them down with a curse. And so the Old Testament closes with that. And wouldn't it be interesting, as the Old OT closes with that, the New Testament opens up, right, with the introduction of John, basically, as he prepares the way. And so, you know, what were the writers in Luke and Matthew, what they're trying to say? They're saying that the fulfillment is here. It's on the scene right now. And then Luke even takes it a step further. In verse 17, he says, "And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And so he really is Elijah, right? And now, obviously, Pastor Andrew, we believe in reincarnation, of course not, right? He's not Elijah, right? But he is the spirit of Elijah, right? And it says it comes with the power and the spirit of Elijah. Elijah was a very also unique character in the Old Testament. I think, if you look in the Bible, there's actually two people that actually did not die. Right? You guys know who they were? Elijah and Enoch, right? These guys, loved them so much, he just took them away. You know, it's as if he just couldn't bear to be without them, so he just took them. You know, like Enoch really says, and one day he was not. God just took them up, basically. And same thing with Elijah. And there was something about the character of these men, and there's something about them. There was a task and a mission, that God had for them that he's continuing on. But Elijah is in the scriptures, is known as the kind of the prototypical father type. He fathered Elisha, and Elisha became what we would call a double portion son. He did double of what his father did. And that's, as a spiritual father, that's what you're looking for, right? You're looking for your children to go above and beyond what you do. And then when you have children, you'll really understand that principle more than anything else. And you'll really understand why your parents drove you, all that time. Because basically the heart of a parent is to want their child to do more and do better, and to experience more and have more than even they did. Right? I mean, that's always the heart of a parent. And so Elijah typifies that. And so Elijah was the one, right, and what I say, John the Baptist, in the spirit of Elijah, to make the way ready for the Lord, right, to clear our obstacles, right, to position the people, right, to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you go about making a way? It's through repentance, right? We spend so much time in the morning talking about repentance. As I go through Matthew again, we did this a while back. I just didn't realize how important repentance plays a role in Matthew's teachings. Almost every part, every passage deals with some type of repentance. So hopefully we get the message of what he's trying to tell us here. And so, then he's giving this tribute to Elijah, this and that. And, in verse 11, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. He is the most incredible out of anyone born of a woman. But even who is less than that, right? Who thinks they're less is greater than even he is in the kingdom of heaven. And so we see that Jesus is starting, he's already done, but he's starting to introduce what we call the gospel of the kingdom, right? The kingdom of God. We'll touch on this so much as we continue on. And then there's a really interesting phrase here in verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Who gets the kingdom of heaven? Who are the people that really get the kingdom of God? The people that are very passive? Acer also, whatever happens, happens. Or is it people that are very diligent? People that are, not necessarily forceful, but they're hungry. If you look at the parables that Jesus teaches, about the lessons, it's the woman, right, who begs the judge over and over again, right? It's the blind man that keep yelling when everyone tells him to shut up, right? It's the neighbor that knocks on your door in the middle of the night and just keeps knocking until you wake up and give them what they want. This is the character of the people of the kingdom of God, right? It's not people that just give up so easily, right? It's not people that kind of go through the motions. It's people that are very deliberate. It's people that are intentional. The kingdom of God, right, is taken by men of violent force. And now, obviously, we don't mean that, we kill people, in the way, right? We're not Muslims, right? That's not what we do. You know, but in that same way, I also have some political comments, so race type of thing. You know, but I say we're not extremists, right, in that way. You know, but what we do, right, is we grab a hold of things and we go for it. You know what I mean? That's what the kingdom of God should be about. You know, there's a forcefulness there. You know, and a lot of times we can lose out, you know, when we think of Christianity, you know, as this really nice religion. Nice people, you know, decent people. You know, Gerald Ford just, you know, passed away. And then the whole thing about Gerald Ford, right, he's a decent man. He's a nice man, proper man, you know, kind of thing. So, I mean, which is fantastic, right? Great character for the president, you know. And but for people of the kingdom of God, right, it should be a little bit more than about being nice. You know, it should be about giving God an opportunity to be God. Right? And so Jesus is introducing a whole different aspect. You know, this is, and I don't think he's gone off the deep end either. And then he begins to rebuke cities. And it's interesting that he actually rebukes cities. You know, it's not necessarily the people, but it's the cities. You know, you really think about this. And when we look at the gamut of judgment, you know, or blessing, you know, it comes under the realm of cities. God chose to offer it that way. And so as we look at Hong Kong, I mean, are we praying for our cities? You know, are we involved in the betterment of our cities? You know, are we doing what we can do to help people in the cities? Now, even, I'll be honest, even as a church, we don't actually do a very good job here in Hong Kong. You know, and that's something that we really need to change as a church. You know, but we are interconnected to this city. Right, we are, in essence, we are one with the city. There's a huge movement, worldwide movement in the church, you know, that are starting to look at cities in God's view, you know, and not with just our own geopolitical, you know, kind of sense. We're looking at it in a spiritual sense, you know, and you are responsible for your city, right? You're responsible for where you live. You know, even as, you know, we look at Abraham and, you know, his whole dialogue with God, you know, Lord, 100 righteous, what you do, like, you know, and probably not 10, there's only one, but you still, you know, and so there's something about righteous men, you know, rising up within the cities, you know, to cover their cities, to bless their cities, you know, to be a standard and watching over their cities, you know, and so, I mean, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, even though many of us are visitors, you know, and we don't necessarily, you know, I mean, deep down call, you know, Hong Kong home. You know how you can tell? Is whenever people say, oh, I'm going home for vacation. You know, it's like, well, is this your home? You know, don't you live here? You know, but I say the same thing, right? I'm going home for my, actually I say, I'm going to my home state. You know, going back home, which is Southern California. You know, but I need to change my mentality. My home is where I live, right? This is where I grow up, right? And this is, to me, at this point in my life, is Hong Kong. You know, and we need to also change our mentality. Preached a message a long time ago, right? Prosper where you planted. You know, wherever God has planted you, you prosper in that place. It caused the seed to prosper because you're there. You know, and so then he continues on, and then he gets to this prayer from 25 on. It's actually very beautiful. You know, so Jesus is not going off the deep end, right? It's not violence, this, and you know, all this kind of stuff. He goes back, and this is the prayer. I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Right? Now, does this mean that Jesus only, or God only revealed to people that were 2 years or younger? Of course not. But it's the attitude of a babe, you know. And I'll be honest. I mean, now that as a father, you know, I look at my little girl. You know, you guys see her on Sunday. Oh, you know, she's so cute. You know, she's smart. She does all these things. You know, we're with her 24 hours a day. I tell you, my daughter's evil. You know, I mean, I just be very honest. You know, I can see the sinful nature that's within her. You know, like sometimes, like even the other day, we were teaching her how to draw and stuff, you know, color. You know, finally getting to the crayons. She's trying to eat the crayons. You know, and so you know, she's stuck in her mouth, and you know, her jaw is like, you know, like vice grip. You know, and so I tried to take it out, and she wouldn't put it out, so I finally pulled it out, but she took a chunk of the crayon. Obviously, it didn't taste good, but she'll do it again, right? She doesn't relate cause and effect yet, right? It doesn't register to her that you put this in your mouth, it doesn't taste good, so don't do it again, right? She's not quite there yet. You know, but I keep telling her no, and so, you know, I took the crayon away from her. You know what she does? She just takes all the crayons, she just throws it on the ground, right? It's kind of like her act of defiance, right? If I can't eat it, then forget it, right? And just chucks everything. I'm thinking, this evil little girl. You know? I mean, this little girl knows, she knows what's going on, right? She knows that I'm trying to discipline her and stuff, and so she's, you know, it's like us when we get older. Forget it, man, we just chuck, you know, our mobile phone or something, or, you know, our computer or something like that, you know what I mean? And stuff, and so I just realized, man, so it's not necessarily about being young, you know what I mean? But the key is, and I think what my, you know, with Elise, what I learned from her is actually the key of being dependent. And so when the scripture talks about being a child, being childlike, but notice it's childlike, not childish, you know, but it's about dependent. My daughter is totally, absolutely dependent on my wife and I, you know, and she's growing up not so much, so Micah is a better example of this stage of his life. Wholly dependent on his parents, right? You know, and that's exactly the character when it says, Lord, you hid these things in the life, but you reveal them. Babes. That's the care. And you don't have to be 2 years old. You have to be anything. You can be with kids. Right? You know, and so whenever you see that childlike or like building babies and these kind of things, that's what he's after. You know, and it's interesting that we, you know, in our whole society tells us to be wise and intelligent. Our whole society tells us to be independent. It said, God, you hide these things from those people. You reveal them to people that are innocent. Not necessarily innocent, right? People are just simply dependent. It's like a child. You know, I mean, if you look at any of it, there's an article, it's a pretty good article actually, in Time Magazine these days, about the whole science and God debate. You know, you read that, and, you know, that's, I mean, as I was reading through again yesterday, there's these people that are writing these, you know, incredibly scientific books, they're totally relied on their own intelligence to figure out the universe. And totally, the other guy that's speaking, the Christian guy, you read it and he's just full of humility. You know what I mean? I mean, this guy is, I mean, he is the, was he the foremost geophysicist in the world, right? Genome Project, right? I mean, it's huge and he's like the foremost and he's so humble. You know what I mean? And the other guy, you know, speaks in absolutes and, you know, this and you don't know, talking about, you know, God doesn't exist and da-da-da and I can prove, you know, it's just like, you know, and no wonder God hides it from people like that, you know, and reveals it to babes. You know, people that just choose to be dependent, you know, choose themselves to be humble. You know, it's just an amazing character. And then he ends this whole thing. You know, he says, come to me, all who are worried and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, what an appropriate way to end could be a very troubling discourse. You know, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You should find rest for your souls. We need rest for our souls. You know, I mean, not only do we need to have a relationship with Christ, but we need to learn to walk in the ways of Christ. So learn from me, right? Do what I do. You know, follow me. You know, I mean, imitate me. That's basically, you know, what he's saying through this whole thing. You know, and you know, take my yoke upon you. You know, and the end of it is just, my yoke is easy and my load is light. You know, why can we follow Jesus? Why can we do that? You know, it's just two simple words. He says, I am gentle and I am humble. I mean, to be honest, this is why I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it says something like that, but he could have said anything. He said, I am a man. Right? If you don't follow me, you're going to hell, man. You know? I mean, he could have said all kinds of things. He says, I am gentle and I am humble. In other words, trust me. In other words, I'll take care of you. Right? I'll think about you. You know, I'll let you be a priority. You know, I am gentle and I'm humble. What kind of powerful being says that about the universe? When was the last time you heard Donald Trump say something like that? You know, you know what I'm thinking about, right? When was the last time you saw some powerful man here on earth say these types of things? You know, it just doesn't happen. But Jesus Christ, I'm gentle. Right. And he said, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, and so when we feel pressed down and beaten up, and we feel like a huge load that's on us, you know, we just look to the Lord and say, oh,
fortress of peace.
Grant me that peace. You know, we've got such a load on us. And all. God, you're taking care of the universe, and you're really chilling right now. Can you help me to chill a little bit? And all you need to do is just come to God. It's just that invitation. Just close your eyes. Are there things in your life that you're kind of worried about? Are there some things that are kind of pressing on you a little bit? Situations. And I mean, you know, life is full of worry. There, I mean, as we live our life, we live full of worry. There's a lot of things to worry about, really, in the world. But in Jesus Christ, we can truly take care of the world. All you need is comfort. Isn't that amazing? What a gracious Savior. He just comes and He teaches us. And not necessarily just not to worry, but He teaches us how to live our lives. And so with that invitation, this morning, why don't we say yes? I'll come to you. And I'll look upon you. In this the situations at work, with my family, relationships, so on and so forth. Lord, I'm coming home to you. So let's go to the Lord today. Let's just come. Let's just come. Whatever that means to you, just go to the Lord. Let's just come. Just go. Let's go to the Lord. Let's pray that this year that we would be childlike. As we pray for ourselves, let's pray that we would have that attitude and that heart of being just totally dependent on the Lord. Just really giving ourselves to Him. Not really looking to ourselves, but really looking to Him in all things. That we would really be just like a child. Not childish, not in that evil sense. But in that good sense, of just being totally dependent, just totally looking to the Lord for everything. So let's just pray that over ourselves today. Let's pray for our SP sports and activities team. Let's pray. pray for Tracy and Sandra and others that join. Let's pray that through the activities and as they lead this team, that they would really bring people closer together to one another. The fellowship, the true koinonia would really occur, you know, through different events and different things that we do together as a church. You know, through our activities and our stores and things like this, that we really learn to love one another and really get to know each other. It's been a real open door for people to really enter into God's flow through their speech. So let's pray for Tracy and Sandra and for the whole activities team and the events that are coming this year. It's a blessing. Also pray that families in Hong Kong will be ministered to your church and start your service. Let's pray that people that families or that are going through difficulties in relationship or difficulties with kids, they really find a resting place here at Solomon's Porch. You know, just really minister to a lot of growing families. Let's pray that God will just really raise them up and just begin to stir families to a church here, and God would really touch them as they come. Just listen to them. Let's pray for our sister Esther. Let's pray that she's joined the intercession team at Remnant starting this year. Pray that she'd really hear God's voice and vision and direction for the church and for really release the power that in intercessory prayer group. Also pray for the upcoming marriage, for a smooth, stress-free wedding preparations, also the premarital counseling. It's really a beautiful ceremony that's glorifying to God and it's a testament of His love to guests, especially non-Christians. And a continuation of growth in the relationship centered around Christ. Also pray for a desire and passion to follow Jesus and to die on the cross every day. For unwavering faith, faith that can heal and move mountains, she says. Discover Esther.
Stressful.
wedding is August 31st, which is actually Friday. And so, yes, she said you guys are all invited, so you guys want to go to New York, it's okay. But let's pray for our sister Gia, and let's ask God to really bring reconciliation in her family. I mean, really, let this be the year that God really touches and ministers throughout her extended family. This summer, she's got a lot of time off, and she's trying to determine how to best spend the time, and possibly go on a mission trip or go to Korea to work on some of that reconciliation. And she's really praying for wisdom and direction and discernment for her to spend her summer this year. Also, for her church back home, they need more dedicated members or her willingness to serve, especially a pianist. And also, the congregation is getting older, so we pray that God sends some young blood. Those are her words. So let's just pray for a whole new generation to live on this really blessed church. And Jean's father is the pastor of the church as well, so it's just really part of him and her mom as well as they need. Just pray for her. Lord, just say thank you. Pray that God continues to minister to him and his brother, and that his brother would come back to him again. You know, he used to be a youth pastor a while back, and, so let's really pray that God would really restore him. I also pray that God would take the English ministry at his church, the Johann Waseda Church, to new levels in 2007. The EM just started in 2005, and there are great hopes for his growth and vision. We pray that the more core members can step up to become more leaders of this ministry, that he can also be more involved in running the ministry as well. And so let's really cover him and pray for his church there in Tokyo. I also pray that God would motivate him and help him and equip him with the right skills to achieve all the high objectives that he needs to meet for next year at work. And there's also a little bit more pressure for him at work this year since he's up for a promotion at the end of 07. And so this opportunity really opponent. So it's really covering him. According to his boss to say he needs to really step it up, and so let's just cover high and show this time as well.
I just pray enough to now. I'm going to go to the next one.
really pray that you teach us the child, teach us to always come to the Lord, regardless of whatever situation it is, that, but that we can find mercy and help in the moment. I pray that you continue to draw us throughout this weekend, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, as we fast, as we seek after you, God, as we pray for you, Lord, as we transfer, God, what we normally do, God, with the seeking of grace. And so just continue to do this, Lord. Bind our with you.